Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we originally reached out to Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. You know, I just saw, you know, Tucker Carlson goes to Russia. He interviews Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister. And then, you know, all these other websites are, you know, picking up the term like hot war with Russia just because that's what Tucker Carlson said. And so I just wanted to get some clarity on that. And then while we're, you know, we put Professor Schmidt on the schedule, then Bashar al-Assad is now, you know, in Russia because he fled his country because he lost power, and now Syria is in disarray, and that has a broad, you know, global impact on Russia, on the Middle East, on a whole bunch of stuff. So we're lucky to be able to talk to Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. When's the sale coming?
What do you want to start?
Well, my answer is, are we in a hot war, is a yeah, no. Tucker Carlson is exaggerating. Until you see the nukes, you know, hitting New London and the tidal wave coming up the Sound, we're not in a hot war.
Yeah, I mean, what is the? I don't want to get political, but like, what's the motivation of doing and saying that? I mean, to me, like, he just took the fact that, listen, it is an antagonistic move to use American weapons that are used against Russia in Russia. There's no doubt about that. But to make the leap to that is quite a big leap.
Well, we've been in, you know, active, you know, sub-major conflict for years or decades with Russia, right? So this has been going on a long time. Obviously, we're playing spy games left and right. When you look at Ukraine, of course, we're getting, you know, we're using our weapons. They're landing in Russia. That feels very different for the Russians. But the idea of the hot war, that's central to Putin's ruling philosophy. That's central to the propaganda that he's feeding his people, and central to his power, right? He's, if you look at, you know, opinion polling and whatnot, even going back years, the Russian population more or less believes that the West is out to get Russia, that the war in Ukraine isn't about Ukraine, it's actually about Russia, and the West and the U.S. and NATO are really fighting it, you know, in Ukraine against Russia.
Huh. Yeah, and so that helps keep him popular and in power, essentially.
Right. So you have to remember that the sanctions have been working, but they've been working slowly.
And I keep reading stuff about how almost easy it is for Russia to do these workarounds. Is that not true?
Well, it is, but if you look at their economy, they're in trouble. So they're struggling with inflation. They're struggling because so many people are in the war economy, right, are producing things in their factories, that they're running out of labor force for other things. And even so, their military production is not really keeping up in the long term because they don't have the factories built yet. They're building them, but it'll take a few years to come online. And so they're stripping down all their old Soviet stock, throwing that into the field in Ukraine. And the reason they're winning in Ukraine isn't because their economy is doing extraordinarily well. It's because they're sacrificing, you know, Russian lives and basically what we would, you know, like native Russian lives, so the indigenous people in Russia, and North Korean lives at astonishing rates. And that's how they're winning the war in Ukraine right now. But the economy is really shaky, and it's going to tumble this year. And that's why they're pushing to end the war as fast as they can.
So there's so many questions I have for you, Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. Well, first and foremost, since we're always tight on time, I'll ask the biggest one first. What do you think the impact of Trump, President-elect Trump, coming in is going to have? I mean, he just saw Zelensky the other day. He is going to push for a resolution quickly, and that could compromise Ukraine's interests, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be quite blunt about it, I think you're going to see that the war is going to reach a settlement and we're going to stop major combat operations. And that's because that's, at this point, in the interest of both sides. So the Russians are going to consolidate the gains that they have in the four occupied provinces. And Zelensky is going to want to stop the bloodshed because Ukraine can't keep it up either right now. And then we're going to go into a stage like 2014. And then we'll see what happens after that. But
so
I think
will,
you're
like,
going to see that
lose
in 2025.
More, will Ukraine lose more real estate?
They'll lose a little bit more real estate. They're basically, when you look at the map of territorial gains right now, they're going to lose that sort of that pink crescent that you see on the map if you look at the Institute for the Study of War, for instance. So not much more than what you see there. But they'll lose about 20% of their territory, yeah.
And you think both sides will just be ready to do that?
Right. Okay. You know, here's the thing you got to remember is that Russia is winning right now on the ground. Right. So you have to ask yourself, like, why do they want to stop? And the answer is because what I said before about their economy and everything else is that there's no incentive for them to continue much longer either.
You know, I'm just curious real quickly, why would North Korea commit its own people to get killed over there?
Weapons technology. They want missile technology that can defeat our anti-ballistic missile systems, or at least threaten to do it.
Got it. Hey, the other thing I wanted to ask you, we're talking to Professor Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven. Syria, what's the, I mean, I know Middle East, I don't know what all your specialties are, but there's got to be a broad impact here on this sort of growing access with Iran and Russia and all that stuff.
It's a huge loss for Russia, first of all. They backed the Assad regime for years, and so this is a big blow for them in the region. Their access to things, it's an embarrassment. They've lost hundreds of forces there that have been supporting Assad's regime, and it's an even bigger loss for Iran because Iran has lost basically all of their influence outside of Iran when you look at Hezbollah and Hamas now. So Iran has lost that ability to project power outside of its borders. So it's really a stunning development.
But we don't know what's going to go into the void, right? I mean, we don't know if it's going to be a good development. It could be worse, for all we know.
That's true. It could be. And you know, my heart aches for what's going to happen to the Syrians now, because this is a liberation from Assad's tyranny. But it could devolve into really nasty civil conflict now, and we just don't know yet.
Wow. So we're going to be in a vastly different situation a year from now. I mean, like, this is going to change a lot in the next 12 months.
Yeah, the key in Ukraine, to go back there, is if the settlement agreement can create a sufficient deterrent for Russia not to go back into Ukraine in the next 24 months. Right. Once they get their production going, once he retools his army, that's going to be the question. It's also going to be a question of whether or not the EU comes through with the reconstruction money. And yeah, we're talking, in the end, you know, over the next 10 years or something, a huge amount, like $1 trillion. And they're going to need a lot of foreign direct investment. There's going to be a lot of opportunities, frankly, for Connecticut business and whatnot if they want to get in on this. You know, to get those grants and things. But that's Ukraine. You know, Syria is up in the air. We'll see what happens. You know, there.
Yeah, it's going to be the rebuilding effort. It's going to be, I'm telling you, there's going to be the business scramble for the hundreds of billions of dollars. It's going to be furious. Thank you, Professor. We appreciate you as always.
Always. Take care. Have a good morning,
Matthew. You too. Matthew Schmidt from the University of New Haven.